Doing
So,
well.
yeah, I have a couple of things I'd like to cover, but there may be something that's specifically on your mind that you thought about that you'd like to talk about. So, you know, let's go with your agenda first.
Yeah, you know, obviously that one big client we spoke about, I'd like to review where we are at with that. But other than that, Curtis, there's not anything major to.
Okay. Well, let's tell me about the big client and how that's going.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like he agreed to work with me last time we spoke, but he said he's not going to do anything till the second half of May.
Okay.
So don't even bother sending him the information or scheduling anything with him until sometime in May, and then we'll schedule for the second half of May. That's what he told me.
Okay.
Is he buying a $3 million house in Arizona? So he's got his hands full. But he laid out all the assets, the properties, everything for me to put in the management system. And I've got a cash management proposal that I'm going to share with him and talk to him about in May.
Okay.
And it's looking pretty good. But you know, okay. I'm giving it a 25% chance that he goes with it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Which is pretty good at this point.
Okay.
Once I get more evidence that he's really ready to go, I'll go up to 50 or 75. So we'll see. And then,
okay.
You know, I mean, I'm letting him make all the decisions and stuff like that, but, I'm just presenting him with some evidence about the things that he could do based on what he told me he wants to do. He wants cash management.
Okay.
He doesn't want to invest. He wants cash management. So when I showed him, the deal with Midland, where they guarantee on an insurance policy that they'll give you between 1% and 15% walk away after a year.
Right.
If you like that.
Okay. All right.
But it is taxable. So we'll have to, you know, get into the more detail-y stuff in May.
Okay. So what is your pipeline looking like these days?
Well, I just onboarded a couple of new ones.
Okay.
And, I've also, like, as far as like, new clients, right? So,
yeah, well, pipeline is what you have in the hopper in
yeah.
terms of, really solid prospects.
Yep. So I've got a call today with a new referral that I just got, Roger Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to call him at 11, too. Let me just send him a text. Hi, Roger, comma, I'm tied up in another call. I apologize. Is it okay if I call you around 12:30? Okay, so he's a referral from the same referral source that's been getting me all the great referrals.
The mortgage guy?
Yeah. So another
okay.
mortgage guy referral. And okay. I take super care of all of them, and he's seeing that, and he's just sending more and more to me.
Okay, so you have one really terrific COI.
Yeah.
Your goal is to get six really good COIs.
I know.
Okay. And so, you know, when you start looking at the gaps in your business in terms of, you know, why you're not taking off, then you got to go back and you got to look. It's like, you know, one or two a month isn't going to quite cut it. So you need six people, you know, ideally, if they could give you one name a month, that would be terrific. But if only did one every 6 months, okay, then, you know, you're going to end up with like 35.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I'm looking at cultivating a COI as the same level as trying to cultivate a new client.
Okay, good.
So I just want you to know that, Curtis. I'm taking that very seriously.
Yeah.
And just that they're hard, I'm not they're hard to come by.
I'm not judging. So hard to come by. Let's address that for a moment.
Yeah. I don't meet Josh Ellis's every day. And I don't, I'm not able to identify who is and who isn't one right off the bat.
Okay. Let's start with, your circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that you move around in, people that you are connected with. Let's start with that. Now, your mortgage guy, he can provide you with a referral that can become a client.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at what clients can become a combination of a client and a COI.
Yes.
And then you look at your COI that can also refer you to an influencer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any consultants that I could work with that have a network that I could meet with?
Is that really, isn't that sort of too general? Do you
you can be specific. Business consultants.
I met this business broker.
Okay.
And he's been doing stuff like that in the Valley for years. And he says he also does, and I just met him out of the blue, Curtis. I called him out of the blue off the internet.
Oh, okay.
So not for my network, but he would be a good guy to network with.
Okay.
There's a lot of potential people that I could network with, you know, and I have to determine, I have to do the risk reward analysis. Is it worth cultivating that relationship with that person? You know, it's not just a simple, I'm going to start cultivating a relationship with somebody, you know?
Right. You've got to ask yourself some fundamental questions. Is this person in a network? Is he willing to refer? Do you like each other? Mm-hmm. Can you help each other?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it.
It's like my PI attorney, the guy loves me, has accounts with me, and he can trade on his own, but he likes to trade in his account, his managed account that I have for him a lot, because I'll give him ideas.
Okay.
But he doesn't give me any referrals. He's a great influencer. He brings people into our network.
Okay.
But I think he brought his network in already, and I already know them.
So okay.
It's like some of these avenues might have been sort of semi-exhausted, you know?
And okay, then, you know, for example, if a COI was a member of a chamber of commerce,
mm-hmm,
and an office holder, you can't really exhaust his sphere of influence, right?
Yeah.
If you have a business consultant,
mm-hmm,
that is constantly consulting to other businesses and talking to people all the time, you can't really exhaust those connections.
No, like this guy Mark that I met. If I could turn him into a referral, he's like ready to wind up his career. You know, he's like 69, 70 years old, and
okay.
He seems like he's winding it up, but he still seems active and engaged. So I don't know what to do with a guy like that.
Yeah. So that would be kind of a way. So that's centers of influence. Easy to deal with. They understand risk. They're used to making decisions. They take your advice. They understand your minimums. You've educated them on your concierge practice.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
Now, in terms of working Supernova 1242,
mm-hmm,
you know, do you feel that you have a concierge practice, that agendas go out in advance, that clients receive executive summaries after your calls?
They do. I just read Ron Carson's book, Proven in the Trenches. I'm reading it a second time right now.
Okay.
It's the exact same thing, Curtis. He's copying you.
Okay.
So I'm doing exactly that. We're sending agendas before every meeting. We're meeting on time to the minute with everybody. We're keeping
Right.
it concise and to the point, but having a good time. We're finishing up and asking questions about the value that you receive with each and every call,
Okay.
asking for referrals whenever it's open, and then
Okay.
verifying the next call and sending out executive summaries with every call to every client. So yes, we are doing
Okay.
that to the T. I mean,
Now,
anything could be improved, but we're doing it.
good. Now, how are your clients responding to what you're doing when you
They
have
are
your reviews?
fantastically courteous, but guess what I found out?
What's that?
When I put my suit on and I get on this camera,
Yeah.
I get 25% higher engagement levels on average.
Okay.
Why is that? That's crazy. Is and
They
I
see you as a professional.
I realize that the suit is designed to make people feel a certain way about you. And if I just put that jacket on, those feelings get conveyed without saying anything. It's wild.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they see you as a professional. You could be in your underwear as long as you got your suit jacket on.
I pretty
Okay.
much am in my sweats. I
Yeah.
wear like the rattiest shirts underneath it. It doesn't matter, you know. It's so long as the
Well,
jacket's
that's
on.
me. You know, that's my kind of workout attire. You know, I've done my workout. I was on my MX8, going like crazy, wearing myself out. So, you know, that's fine. But when I get ready to do, you know, something a little more sophisticated, then, you know, hey man, I'm in suit, sometimes in a tie.
You know, we run across all kinds of people in all kinds of different situations in our business, Curtis. And so, like, I was just talking to this couple just now,
Okay.
and you know, go I'm Let me pull this Zoom screen down for a second so
Okay.
I can see their account. That we were just looking at it, and they were referred to me by another client.
Okay.
And he can't, he doesn't know what his cash flow is. It's such a weird situation.
Right.
But we got his net worth at about 4 million. But only about 85,000 in cash,
Okay.
right?
So
So
what's he got? Real estate?
he's got it in equity and in real estate holdings, and a lot of it's in developments that aren't even
Okay, so
sold.
he's asset rich and cash poor.
So and he doesn't even know where he's at. So just to get, it's like a fax machine, you know, when you send the fax, they have to communicate for a little bit before the fax
Yeah.
will go through. You know, there's a lot of that going on that data setup, these guys, to figure out, to get a finger on where they're at, because he doesn't even know. He's got his fingers in all these different businesses. He's
Right.
got different developments, real estate, all that stuff. He's out in Montana, and they're gonna be my clients. They were referred by another client. I'm getting a lot of referrals, Curtis, and Supernova is causing that.
Okay, so you're getting some personal introductions from people.
Personal impressions, yeah.
You should have a pipeline of about a good 25 to 30 that you're working.
Got about 10.
Okay,
Yeah,
gotta
but
up
I had to
that.
give up on some of the ones we were working because they just never panned out.
Yeah, don't hang on to the laggards that aren't going to do anything. Move on.
You want to hear about, I got to tell you about this one.
Okay.
Referred to me by one of my best clients. Aerospace guy. He lives
Okay.
out in the desert, the Tehachapi Desert, in this house, like isolated from everybody.
Yeah.
And him and his wife takes his wife has to take the opiates every single day for her RA, right?
Okay.
And so he asked me to do some planning for him. And we spent quite a bit of time because he wanted to see a striated formula of spending that always allowed him to have at least $1 million liquid net worth, and he started out with like two. And he wanted to spend more at the first 10 years because he figured that's their healthiest years, and then a little bit less the next 10 years, and then less, you know, like everybody.
Yeah.
And so I set that up in planning, cash flow report, showed him the whole thing. We spent a lot of time setting it all up, making sure it was perfect, did all that planning. At the end of it, you know, the 90-day free look with Jeff and his wife, Sandy. And I wanted to work with them because they were worth enough. I mean, probably a couple $1 million and okay. growing from there. And seemed like okay people and wanted to do planning and all that stuff that we do and wanted to invest. And he even said to me at one point, you know, I mean, he said to me, you know, I think the goal is for me to bring some money over and have you manage it. But he has a Morgan Stanley advisor, right?
Right.
So the whole, we get to the end of it. I'm showing him all the reports. I've even brought up the idea of protection strategies and showed him a couple illustrations on protection. Well, when I did that, then he was fine the day that I did it. But the next meeting, he said to me, I don't know why you're trying to shove that insurance down our throat. Then, yeah.
Okay.
And he started getting weird, right?
Right.
Then this happened. And I always examine these situations to see where I messed up because I figure I have to have messed up. And if I don't think that way, I'm never going to improve.
Yeah, that's right. I was always self-critical just like you were. So
here it is. I go, hi, Jeff. I hope you're doing well and having a great month. I was just doing some research. Now, this is after you said I'm not going to work with you and
right.
we're not going to work together and that stuff. After he switched gears on me and then switched to that. So this is like, it's got to be like 3 months into our relationship. I see our first text was back in January. So we're like 4 months in a relationship. This was last Thursday. Okay. Hi, Jeff. I hope you're doing well and having a great month. I was doing some research on the stock that might be great for your portfolio. I can't recommend it to you here on this text and you don't currently have a managed account I can buy it with. So let me know if you'd like to schedule a time. We can speak sometime next week on Monday or Tuesday afternoon. This really is a special company and it's probably a special time to buy this stock. So he comes back to, so I figured, you know, I'll re-engage him with that, right?
Yeah.
Because nothing else worked. So I just to go back and probe to see if there's anything there, right?
Right.
So stunning message. Professor Harold Hill comes to mind reading this. That's his cryptic message back to me.
Okay.
And found out looking up this is a cryptic message. I'm supposed to look up Harold Hill. I did. He's some fictional character that was a con man. Okay.
Okay.
So I said, that's okay, Jeff. I know my integrity's intact. I know the stock is going to contribute to making my clients wealthier. And whether or not you're participating won't make a difference. I just thought you would like to look at this and it would be a good place for us to reengage. That's okay. All I said. And mm-hmm. I left it there. Nothing else happened. So I just want you to know that was, a complete failure on my part going after that client.
Okay.
I learned nothing, gained nothing, and contributed nothing to my practice. But one thing I know for sure, he cannot go back to the source that referred him and say anything but positive stuff about me, even though he seems to be questioning my integrity at every turn.
Okay, so how old of a guy is he?
He's 55.
55?
Yeah, I think so. Let me see here.
Okay. Look, sometimes people lose it, man. They, you know, they're going through all kinds of, you know, depression, and you're not going to win them all. Okay?
I know.
Move on.
I know. I wanted to pass it to you because I wanted to show you a case where I feel like I did everything that I'm supposed to be doing, but I didn't close it. And I felt like it was going to close. And it didn't.
Okay.
It turned the other way on me.
That happens. You're not going to get them all. And so that's what makes this career such a tough career, but a career that can provide you with, you know, lots of success And so you have to have some staying power.
Yeah.
And part of that staying power is having the ability to move on.
Yeah.
They get the 90-day free look, fill or kill. If nothing happens, you got to move on. Thank you so much for your time and move on. If you have a need that I can help you with, feel free to contact me.
3.4 million. I was really seriously hoping I would get that client.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you're playing in the right pool. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, people with 250 can reject you just as much as somebody with 3.4.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a nice ad. And, you know, I think ultimately if he wouldn't have, whatever brain chemistry shut, you know, turned on, if it wouldn't have turned on or
yeah,
he was holding back that he finally opened up on or whatever happened there, that I still trying to analyze the whole thing.
Okay.
That, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever be able to even, if I even want to reenter that situation, because it looked so weird the way it turned out in the end.
This doesn't sound like the guy is playing with a, you know, with a full deck. You give him an opportunity. You do the 90-day free look. You present ideas that are suitable. And if he's not ready to listen, you know, I say words like, look, if I give you, an idea, to what extent are you comfortable making a commitment? And if you're not, then I won't present ideas to you. But if you're interested in us working together, I'll continue to do that. But at a certain point, you know, I'm going to try to narrow our focus down to something that, you know, really makes sense for you, and I'm going to listen. But if there's nothing that appeals to you, then, you know, you have to tell me and share with me what your level of comfort is.
That's the shit or get off the pot speech that you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always have that on the top of my head.
Yeah. You got to have one. I always like to have something that you can like,
is
the point where we have to decide if we're working together, something good, you know?
Yeah. Do we have a relationship? You know, if not, then let's back up and let's decide whether or not we want to have a relationship.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, if you haven't met him on a Zoom call or visited with them, it's hard to establish a relationship.
But I'm finding, I learned a couple of things. One is, when I started the relationship, the first time they saw me on a Zoom call, I was in like a sweater like this. I didn't have a jacket. So
okay.
I found out that the jacket always has to be there.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. You know, I always shave and comb the hair, and not like today.
Right.
The jacket has to be there. So I added that. The other thing that I learned from that, and he even said this, is when we were wrapping up, when he like said he was about to reject the whole idea that I was giving him and not go with me anymore, he said, you know, I would like to be able to pay you for the time you spent with the planning. Right.
Okay.
And I said, Jeff, I'm set up to manage wealth and use planning as supplemental to that wealth. But when I was, you know, and so I really manage wealth, and the wealth management pays for the planning. But I realized after that I really do want to have an hourly planning methodology. So we've been working very hard, buying the timers, setting up the methodology, everything that's required to set up a timed planning system where we can just time it.
Yeah.
Have a minimum, whatever it is, $1,000 you got to pay, but we're going to keep track of every 15-minute increments on planning, just like an accountant.
Okay. Good.
And the timers are coming. They'll be here. Our desktop timers, our little writing pads, everything that you need to do that's coming.
Okay. Good.
I just want to let you know that's actually, I said I didn't learn anything from that. That's what I learned, is people want to pay me.
Yeah.
For that planning, and I'm going to make it possible.
Okay. Good. Good. All right. So we've covered COIs, and we've talked about a couple of your scenarios. Let's talk about, I'm like your accountability partner here.
Yes.
I'm not judging you. I don't ever want you to feel that way. Okay. So tell me about your niche markets and how you're doing in terms of cultivating your niche markets right now.
Well, I think we're doing okay, although we haven't landed any accounts.
Okay, in your particular niche markets?
Yeah, I think what's happened is we're developing a niche market. We don't have a niche market. We're in development phase of this niche market, okay?
Okay.
And
which one is that?
That's the one we're developing on LinkedIn, and that's the people that are involved with these biotech companies.
Okay, biotech, that's a niche market. Okay.
Yeah, that's our niche. And that's, you know, I've always had the retirement niche market. You know, I mean, that's, I don't know if that's a niche or not. I mean, it seems to be pretty common, but these biotech people have a lot of money, and I have already made a bunch of mistakes that I realized, like not wearing the suit when I was on interviews with them on Zoom and other things.
Right.
I'm documenting as I go. And not that anybody noticed but me.
Right.
But what will, you know, because I keep asking myself when I have an interview or I meet somebody through the network, you know, what do I need to do to convert them into a client from here? Because usually the interview is not about financial planning. It's about, let's have an introductory meeting so I can meet you. And we have a segue to that. And then most of the time I find out they're not, you know, they're not in the right situation. A lot of these people are not wealthy or even close. So,
okay.
But the ones that are, you know, I want to be able to segue in and get in their network and build into the network. So I'm telling my network, which is BNI, who I've had for years, which includes Josh and Adam and those guys. I'm telling my network that I want to get in there now. You know, do I need to develop another niche that's more immediate, like real estate agents or something like that? Well, that's still a cultivation of a niche. So I feel like I want to cultivate this niche. You know, Bruce is helping me.
Okay. Bruce is
there. He's the point man for the whole thing. He
okay.
Basically, when you think about this, we think about it from, I think that the way we're thinking about it is from the standpoint of I'm gathering all these people into my network.
Okay.
And we're going to use the advanced programs on LinkedIn to discover who we should try to proactively market to and how.
Okay.
So that really is kind of it's got different phases to it, but yes, that niche market and those six COIs are front and center, and to actually be able to say to you in a year, hey, Curtis, my niche market has been developed. I got a couple clients who are in the biotech arena, and I know they're accountants now. I know they're other people, and I am in that niche. That's what I want to be able to say.
Okay. So question. Biotech.
Yeah.
What's the most prominent trade journal for biotech people? What are they reading?
Well, nowadays everything's coming email.
Okay, so they come, but you know, all these little trade journals come via email, but you know, what's the trade journal that biotech people are reading? And are you, and they work for companies, are you pulling the 10Ks to find out who the key players are in these biotech firms?
We haven't started pulling the 10Ks, but that was one of the things Bruce and I were looking at, was
okay.
How do we use LinkedIn to identify the players that would be in our arena?
Okay, so first thing you do is you're looking for, let me just do one thing here. I'm going to go in and
you want to go to my LinkedIn?
No, not your LinkedIn, but I'm just going to go in and see if I can bio. Firms in California.
Looking at biotech trade journals.
biotech companies is the first thing I'm looking at. And
Journal of Commercial Biotechnology is probably the big one here. Biotech and Pharma Magazine.
Okay. So you've got a, remember when we talked about discovering pain points?
Mm-hmm.
That means you need to really understand that business. Okay. So, so I'm looking online here and, I see, biotech companies in Southern California. Let's see.
By the way, I got two cop clients too, so that might be a new niche. Do you have any police clients? I never had any until recently.
No.
LAPD people.
In the greater LA area. Okay, Crunchbase has got 583 organizations related to biotech, science, and engineering.
We did, Bruce and I did this.
Oh, okay.
There's just too many. You have to kind of pinpoint one you like.
Yeah.
There's just no way to narrow the field unless you have a plan to do that somehow.
I'd look at the ones making money first. That's the cutoff.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Does it tell you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, it tells me how they're being funded. Some are Series A rounds, but and then it's got investors that have invested in these companies.
You know where we could go also, and I'm going to do this with Curtis. You go to clinicalstudies.gov.
Yeah.
And anybody who's just gone through phase 3 clinical study trials, you can look at those companies.
Right.
If there's any in your area, you can call in those companies and see if they have stock options or anything like that. Right. So
that's right. Okay.
So, yeah. That's the thing is this arena. I don't know what other financial advisors are doing this or playing in this arena or what. I am still at the infancy stage of discovering what's in here.
Well, there's 77 IPOs, 1.6 billion, that has been raised. The median amount raised has been 70 million. The median valuation has been, 308 million. Okay.
Crunchbase has that? Okay.
Yeah. So I just punched up Crunchbase, Greater Los Angeles Area Biotech Companies.
Yeah.
Okay. And, so now you're getting into the trade journals. You're reading and learning the same thing that they read and learn. You learn the language that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you need to understand the pain points. What's the pain points in a biotech? Probably some of it has to do with cash flow management. That's got to be a pain point. Keeping and retaining key employees, that's got to be one.
That's a good conversation to have with Brad.
Yeah.
In fact, I had a little bit of that conversation with Brad because I asked him, he got into a little bit of the story of how he started.
Yeah, so remember that article I sent? It was Financial Advisor. What are the pain points in your niche market?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to become an expert in that market if that's going to be one of your niche markets.
Okay. Yeah, well, I got to become an expert in the market. I'm trying because the market's so big, you got to choose where you're going to become an expert in really.
Yeah.
And that I thought it would choose me eventually, a little bit like it always does.
Right.
You know,
TechCrunch is another one. And there's also, webwire.com has a, list of, publications, in that, arena.
Webwire.
To look at webwire.com.
Got it.
/industrylist.asp.
Okay. Got it.
That just happened to be something that was in my article and just looking at that.
Okay.
Okay. So really for you, I think you got Supernova working. You got to have clients that enthusiastically endorse you. Okay. So that's one. You got one COI that's working for you. You've got a couple of niche markets. Boeing was one,
mm-hmm.
and the biotech was the other.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate, cops, not so cops sure.
Cops are coming into play.
Okay. When you say cops, you mean police officers?
Yeah, because they're retiring. They're retiring like crazy right now, Curtis.
Yeah.
Their job is very, very stressful right now.
Right.
And so they're, especially LAPD, they're trying to get out.
But are these the guys that are going to bring $500,000 to you?
Big time. They're all worth a million or more.
Okay. All right.
Everybody's been there 20, 25 years. They built up their accounts. The firemen and policemen, if they have that much time, they're all worth a million.
Here. Okay. So now you've got the meeting the needs of these folks and what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So what time did you say you were going to call this client back? It's 11:40 right now.
Client back?
Yeah, you said you were going to call somebody back. Today you had gotten a referral and you sent a message.
Oh, he's there. I told him it's going to be 12:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have the air conditioning guys coming at 12. So I've got to eat lunch.
Okay.
Another client of mine's coming for the trust and call this client back somewhere between around 12:30. I'll get all that done somehow, but that starts.
Okay.
The chaos begins right after this.
Okay. Yeah. The chaos begins. Well, okay. So I see a lot of good things, a lot of positive things.
Yeah.
And a few things that you have got to get a little bit better at,
yeah.
But you're growing. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the thing that you're doing is you're growing. So, you know, on our next call, you know, we'll just kind of move through, from accountability standpoint to see how you're doing with all the things that we've covered. Okay. And they all bear repeating and reviewing. Just so that you are getting comfortable. This stuff is like, you know, clockwork for you. Okay. All right. Any questions that you want to ask me about anything?
Well, my cash flow is not great right now.
Okay.
So I'm trying to, you know, not, I'm trying to knock out all the spending. I'm actually doing a lot of work right now trying to control the entire spending flow and get my hands around it. Cause I had like $180,000 last year went through our hands.
Right.
And that's a lot of money.
Okay.
Some of it was saved or whatever, but anyway, by the end of the year, with that amount of flow, we didn't have, you know, we had such a low amount of cash. We got to build it back up, Curtis. So I don't have any money for coaching or anything for now.
Okay.
I've got to build my reserves back up.
Right. So five clients that can generate between $5,000 to $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
What would that do to your business? That's where you got to keep your focus.
Yeah. So like if they are averaging, let's say five clients and it added another, you know, $30,000 in revenue to my firm right now.
Right.
That's all free cash flow because right now It's making exactly the amount of money that I'm spending.
Okay. That's a break even.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you've got to be generating here is probably 3 to 4 new relationships per month. Okay.
I think we're doing that though. That's the amazing thing. Supernova got me there. I was not doing that, but I am.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Are they all turning into clients? No, but I'm getting the 3 to 4 opportunities per month now. Some of them self-generated, some of them client referral, some of them COI referral, but it is coming in at about that level.
Good. So you look at that and then you say, if that pace continues or better in a 12-month time frame, that's 48. If all you do is have a close ratio of 50%, you're going to be successful.
Yep.
Now, if you're not closing, then we got to go back and figure that out. Are we talking to the right people? Are we saying the right things?
Oh, I'm at.
Why
I'm,
are we not I'm winning at 50%. Business?
I'm at 50%. Okay. And well, I should say they're at 50% because they closed themselves.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember like me really closing anybody. I just remember like we're talking and we're discussing and there comes a point where we know we're going to work together.
Right. There you go. I like it. I love it.
So I would say that more than 50% of the time they're closing themselves on working with.
Okay. All right. You're the catalyst that makes it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could say that I closed the deal, but I did everything possible to make it so they wanted to close the deal.
Okay.
And that's what's happened. And that's because of Supernova and their concepts and all that as well.
Okay. All right. I like your attitude, Larry. Okay. I'm going to let you go for now. And, I look forward to our next call.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do we have a next call? Cause Lori said this was the last call.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I brought up the coaching thing because.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I can add any additional expense because I got to catch back up.
Yeah, I understand. I tell you what, I'm going to give you one more accountability call, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
I'm going to just do that for you. It'll be our last call until you can get back on board with some kind of payment situation. I'm going to just do that for you as a favor. But you have to schedule it, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to call me and say, hey, look, I got this date, Curtis. Can we do this? We're going to schedule it to Supernova.
Send some dates to Lori, you mean?
Is that just send them directly to me.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, so I'll just wait about 3 weeks, just like it would be on a regular monthly schedule.
And shoot me an email.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll put it in my calendar, Curtis. So I will definitely do that. This last year working together, we've made a lot of progress. You may not be able to see the tangible benefits yet, but I can feel them
in
my company. I feel way more secure with its future.
Okay.
I feel way more secure that it could become a legacy firm with its own unique, personality. Which really is, I feel like the personality of our culture is it's all about the client.
Yeah.
It's all about doing anything we can to track all their important details. Oh, air conditioning guys here. Hang on just a minute.
Okay.
It's all about keeping track of those important details that they have so they don't have to keep coming back and repeating them and making them extremely happy and excited about doing planning because it is hard work if you try to do it on your own, but we can keep it together for them. So, I mean, I feel like we're offering something awesome here.
Well, I'm encouraged that you're encouraged and, you call me and we'll set up one final call. Okay.
Thank you, Curtis.
You're welcome.
I'll take care. Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye now.